broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Dr. Cuddy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we were going to talk a little bit. Well, we're going to talk primarily about the Cuban Missile Crisis, but we're going to just wrap up something else before we get to that. So you pick up the story there, Dennis.
Okay. Well, it's been a while since I've been on, and I just wanted to give a brief, only about a minute, update on the Bible Literacy Project, what's going on. And people may say, well, you know, what's that got to do with me? The key thing that Dr. Steen often emphasizes is that there's a spiritual element behind most of what's going on, whether it's the power elite's dialectical process or whatever. And one place that youngsters are required to go is the schools. And so this is not a minor item, because in the schools there's an attack upon the values that parents are trying to instill in home. Now, the Bible Literacy Project has, I believe, since we last talked, revised their textbook called The Bible and Its Influence. But still, I would urge your listeners to watch out if that's coming into a school district near you, or your own school district, because even in this revision, they have errors, including, well, not an error so much as something inappropriate. They will actually give a lesson from the Quran in there. And what that's got to do with the teaching of the Holy Bible, I have no idea, except that it's part of their what they call common ground that they're after. And so this is something to watch out for. In the meantime, down in Texas, but this is not just for people in Texas, because a lawsuit has been brought by the People for the American Way and the ACLU against the National Council on Bible Curriculum in Public Schools. And that's simply because they have never really been challenged in court. They're perfectly constitutional. But the PAW and the ACLU wants to set a precedent here. They're going after this in Odessa at the same time that the Texas Freedom Network, a very liberal outfit, is complaining about Bible curriculum in the schools, and especially the national councils, because it says it's bringing a type of fundamentalist Protestantism into the public square. And one of the things you need to know is that the founders of this country, while they wanted a separation of church and state, no government religion, they certainly did not believe that one's religious views should not impact their public life. In fact, a lot of what the National Council's curriculum does is show how various presidents, George Washington, John Adams, and others, actually quoted from the Bible to get their inspiration. And in fact, for many decades after the Constitution was accepted, the government actually funded religious activities in this country. So that's just a brief update. You need to watch out for these activities, because they will impact your children in the schools.
Okay, very good. All right, now, then, you wanted to get off onto the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Well, yeah, I hope we'd have a sort of a discussion here between yourself and me, and if you have any callers on this thing, because what I've done is, oftentimes in the past, I've explained that the power elite uses a dialectical process in order to achieve its objectives. And so people may say, well, you know, that's a theory, okay, dialectics, east, west, instances of communism and Eastern communism and Western capitalism, and you know, I understand that, but I want some specific examples. And so I thought one of the things that might be useful in this regard is to look at the Cuban Missile Crisis.
All right, we're gonna have to take a break now, but I said that this goes right along the series of letters I'm writing on the Capitalist Communist Alliance, a communist capitalist alliance that Solzhenitsyn spoke of. There is an alliance between the leaders of both sides, and
we would all love to live in a world with clean air and water, a world in which our produce is grown naturally, without the use of pesticides and other harmful chemicals. But the truth is, we don't live in such a world. These toxins enter our bodies, and the organ in our body that works hard to eliminate these toxins is the liver, which is one of the most complex and important organs in the human body. With more than 500 vital functions, give your liver the helping hand it needs with Live 52, the world's best-selling all-natural liver support formula in over 76 countries. And it's backed by over 300 clinical trials and studies. Live 52 is the most researched herbal formula that helps neutralize toxins from food, water, air, alcohol, and prescription medications. To order Live 52 and for the best source of researched herbal products, visit research-herbs.com or call 1-800-973-1482. That's research-herbs.com or call 1-800-973-1482 and tell them Alex Jones sent you.
Our terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Elizabeth Border. News alert. Twice a month, you can now get the Divided Kingdom's brand new newsletter. Concise, hard-hitting, the first issue discusses two vital questions. War in Iran? A coming one-world church? In the first issue is included a pungent discussion of NWO numerology. For a free sample copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier, write to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. A yearly subscription is only $50 for a newsletter that comes not once, but twice every month. Get the spiritual support you need right now for your free sample copy to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Once again, for your free copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier newsletter, write to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and Dr. Cuddy is going to be talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis, but I thought I'd just preface this by commenting that my last three newsletters, the latest one will be coming out in a couple of days, deals with the alliance between the communists and the capitalists. Now, that's at the very highest level. And, of course, there's a lot of play acting back and forth, and, oh, my goodness, they're the enemy, those wicked communists. And they are wicked communists, no question. They've killed 150 million people, 150 million people, probably throughout the world in their various escapades. But that doesn't mean that there's not an alliance at the very highest level and that these people all have a great deal in common. They all believe in absolute power. They're basically immoral individuals, and they're quite willing to exploit the people. And they're constantly manipulating us into believing what they want us to believe. So you pick up the story there, Dennis.
Well, I thought it was important, especially given your latest two items that you've had in your newsletter about this alliance, because that's exactly what this article portrays, that there's this power elite, or call them an alliance or whatever, and this is pretty much all a charade. And I'll get to a point later in my latest News with Views column. Actually, I'll plug it in now because it's important that your listeners remember that about 7 months after this so-called Cuban Missile Crisis, a CFR member, Lincoln Bloomfield, had a March 10, 1962 study memorandum number 7. It was titled "The World Effectively Run by the United Nations." I think it was the title. It's for the State Department, and your listeners want to remember that that was headed by Dean Rusk, Secretary of State, who was a Rhodes Scholar. And I've mentioned many times about Cecil Rhodes and his plan, quote, to take the government of the whole world with his secret society of the elect. In this memorandum, Bloomfield explained how a world government would come about. And in my books, I put a fairly long quote, but the primary part of it is, he said, quote, "If the communist dynamic was greatly abated, the West might lose whatever incentive it has for world government," end quote. And so that's the dialectic at work there, and that's what I've mentioned in the past about Eastern communism and Western capitalism, a synthesized thesis and antithesis into this synthesis of a world socialist government.
And I think that really goes right along with what Plato had written about, you know, in his Republic, where he said, you know, when the tyrant has disposed of the enemy by conquest or treaty and there's nothing to fear from him, then he's always out scaring up another enemy so he can rally the people behind him. And you see this pattern over and over again. Fidel Castro, oh, he's our enemy. And as you pointed out so well in your article, what do you mean he's our enemy? David Rockefeller's daughter is a close friend of Fidel Castro's, and that's covered in David Rockefeller's memoirs, which you can get through Radio Liberty. Why would the daughter of the world's leading capitalist be such a good friend of this wicked, evil communist Fidel Castro? Or maybe nothing is what it appears to be, but the people out there really believe Fidel Castro is the enemy, and that we're run by good guys, and they were just making an awful lot of stupid mistakes. Well, I don't think our leaders make any stupid mistakes. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
That's exactly right. They know exactly what they're doing, and since you mentioned David Rockefeller, I'll just throw in that quote, which is, as you said, in his memoirs. He says, "Some believe he's talking about his family and himself, are part of a secret cabal conspiring against the best interests of the United States in order to form a more global, integrated political and economic structure, one world, if you will, like a one world government." And then he has a period. But then his very next sentence is, says, "If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it," end quote. And so that's before he became chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations from 1970 to 1985. During this particular time, they were talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Of course, you had John J. McCloy as chairman from 1953 up to 1970. And, of course, McCloy is a perfect example of the dialectic. He sits in Hitler's box at the Olympics in Germany in 1936, but 24 years later, there he is smiling with Khrushchev swimming in Khrushchev's private Dachau, wearing Khrushchev swim trunks, and they're, you know, arm in arm and grinning at each other. And so these people are simply about power and control, and they will use left versus right. They'll support Nazis. They'll support communists. It really doesn't matter. In fact, Professor Quigley was saying as much in his book Tragedy and Hope, and he thought these fellows were wonderful. I mean, they were the hope in his title, Tragedy and Hope. These guys were the hope of the world. So he thought very highly of them. Well, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, then, what you have is a situation where most people think this was simply, we happened to discover this placement of missiles in Cuba through our U-2 flights overhead, and wasn't that lucky, and President Kennedy stood down. Khrushchev demanded that he remove those missiles, and President Kennedy was some sort of big hero, and that that legend has pretty much come right down to today.
So yeah, because I can remember so well, I can remember the timing of that, because it was just before the November elections in 1962, and Kennedy was going to lose those elections. He was going to lose Congress. Kennedy was incredibly unpopular. They'd known about those missile sites, or at least supposed missile sites, in Cuba, because I can remember in June and July articles in Look magazine, and Senator Keating was pointing out, that there were places they were putting in the silos to put the missiles in. Now, that was June and July. Why didn't they do something then? Well, they wanted it just before the elections. It's sort of like, you remember, just before the last elections over in England, it was about a year ago, I think, and Tony Blair is coming up for election. He's very unpopular. But just 2 days before the elections, why, they suddenly there are all these terrorist bombings in London. And so, and now, of course, the people rally behind their leader there, because Tony Blair's got to protect them from the wicked Osama bin Laden living in the cave. Timing is everything. In fact, it was just this last week when just about 2 or 3 days after the Senate rejected the amnesty bill, because the American people didn't want to give up our sovereignty, and the president was furious, and he said, now we can't defend you, we can't defend our border, we're just going to, there's just nothing we can do about terrorism in America, because you've repudiated what our wonderful plan for amnesty, which is going to allow us to prevent terrorism in America. And then a couple of days after that, there's the bombings. Supposedly, they found a couple of cars over in London that were supposed to go off, and then this car is driven into the airport in Glasgow, and nobody's killed there, other than the people who are in the car. One of them, of course, is badly burned; the other's in custody. I mean, most amateurish type of car bombing you ever heard of. But the timing was just so apropos after the American people had the audacity to defy the establishment and bring pressure to bear and defeat the amnesty bill.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. And remember, in the 2004 election, actually, that was a rather close election. If John Kerry had won Ohio, he would have been president. People sort of dismiss him, but it really did come down to one state. And what happened just before then? Osama bin Laden, who may or may not still exist, comes out with this big announcement, you people better vote for John Kerry, George Bush is evil or whatever, which of course elicits the exact opposite reaction. How dare this terrorist tell us what to do? We must reelect George Bush. And so these incidents seem to happen right before these elections.
Time is everything. And of course, here we have the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it's just immediately before the elections are going to come up there in November of 1962, and Kennedy's going to lose those elections, but because he had the courage to stand up against Khrushchev, why were the people rallied behind him and reelected a Democratic Congress?
That's right. It's funny how those things just happen like that. So I thought this would be a really good example of how the dialectical process works, and the goal, of course, in this instance was that this was primarily a setup to achieve an objective. And two objectives really at work here from the Parolyte's perspective, because remember, you have to, as Lincoln Bloomfield said in March of 62, just before this happened, that you have to keep this communist dynamic alive so that you'll have this incentive for world government. And actually, at about that same time, Kennedy had delivered speeches at the UN actually supporting a world government. A lot of people have forgotten that, but he delivered a speech, we got to have a world government, strengthen that UN to be like a world government. And so what you have here is, to further this objective, the Parolyte wanted Cuba to be used as a revolutionary training base, not only for Latin America, such as Nicaragua, the Sandinistas, all that, that confrontation there, but also for Africa as well. And you'll find eventually that the Cubans sent troops over to Angola and other places. They were, stirring up revolutions all over the place. But secondly, they wanted a well, part of that guarantee was that we would not invade or try to invade Cuba again, so that it could be used as a revolutionary training base. Secondly, there were other motives as well in doing this, and we can get into that in a minute.
All right, you're going to have to hold that. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Most people think they understand what really happened, but do they? Or is it reality is usually scoffed at? Illusion is usually king. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fan.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver.